the second part of Entering the Gate, your third lesson. Now, the darker life appears to any man, the more eagerly should he look forth from the window through which the light ineffable that bathes the universe and gives it light can be seen. In your last lesson, you were brought into contact with the difference between the imagination and the reason, the two great divisions of man's mind by which he first receives the light of the divine wisdom, and second, decides how he shall use it. You will have gained knowledge as to how the imagination works. You will see that a trained imagination is the greatest gift possible to man. Now, you are an aspirant. Blind aspiration is characteristic of plants and the things called inanimate. While the higher animals are conscious of their needs and pursue, as they know how, the objects of their desires, man can only rightly aspire to that of which he has some knowledge, or the knowledge, as will be gradually revealed to you through your documentary lessons, which will give definiteness and light to the mysterious impulse that presses him upward and onward toward things higher than any he now knows. A knowledge of how your imagination, the great wonder worker, works for you will enable you to train it. Now, in this lesson, I again emphasize the need of your gaining an unshakable belief that you have the power to live as long as you desire. Once flood your consciousness with this great central idea, and you will have gone far toward not only gaining a practical working method for rejuvenation, but all negation will at the same time be uprooted from your mind. The very meaning of these words will change for you as you practice. And in a month or two, the idea of age will, I trust, have completely disappeared. You and I have much to do. We are the progenitors of the new age. We are the builders of the new city. We are the leaders of the new race. Well then, we must never be hampered by a consciousness that thinks age. And we are never to entertain the idea that we should die in the midst of the work that we like to do and which we feel that we have to carry out. But we must not deceive ourselves. I declare to you that there is no old age. There is no such thing as old age. Now, not having thought of it in this way, you may retort, "Why, what do you mean, no old age? I'm 40. I am 50. How can you possibly say that there is no old age?" Yet, my beloved, I repeat that there is no such thing as old age. Now, if you doubt this assertion, take a day off tomorrow and go to any library and try to find out what old age is. All that you will be able to find is that which is called old age is only a chemical change in the body, a change in the perfect chemistry of the body, brought on by wrong diet, wrong habits of many kinds, breathing, walking, standing, sitting, resting, feeling, thinking. Old age is a chemical change, and it can be avoided. We are on our way to learn how to avoid it. Now, when you are studying this lesson. When you have read thus far, rest and think. Quietly, restfully, still. Think of this truth. And to try to imagine the indwelling wisdom of you telling you that you are immortal. Try to hear the inherent knowledge within you speaking to you, telling you that you are immortal. Be still, more still than you have ever been in your whole life, and try to listen for your answer. And then consider what I shall now tell you. In Asia, there are men living today who have reached a great age. Now, I know that this is often denied, and even in some scientific circles in the Western world, it is claimed that no man can live much beyond 100. But I have seen some of these men. My own master, from whom I received much of the knowledge that comes to you through your documentary lessons in mental physics, was 152 years of age. He had not lost a tooth. He had not a gray hair. His face was unlined and serene, and he had a body like steel. Among the philosophers of the Orient, particularly in Tibet, where I lived, as you know, for many months in a Tibetan temple, men make it their duty to remain young, full of vigor, full of power. From boyhood, embracing a system so intricate and arduous that it seems impossible for them to grow old. Their systems are not for us in the Western world, however, unless we are prepared to give up everything for a period of some years and do nothing else. Hatha yoga practices are possible for us in the Western world, but what you are learning in your scientific and spiritual breathings will teach you more in 3 months than you would learn in Tibet or India, probably in 3 years. The few Americans and Europeans who have been privileged to meet these men who have conquered age in Asia, most of them living in the Himalayas, either are so skeptical as to refuse to accept official records of their age as conclusive evidence, or are so overwhelmed as frankly to admit that they cannot understand how it is done. But we will leave Asia and turn to Western countries. The average duration of human life has grown very considerably during the last 100 years. I believe that it is something like 50 or 51 or 2 years now. Well then, why should it not go to 100 in the next century as the average? The allotted span, according to accepted ideas, is 70, 70 years and 10. Now, who or what made this limit for you or for me? I am certain that I did not, did you? A gravestone in Wales bears this inscription: Annie David, who died November the 14th, 1851, aged 181. In her 110th year, she is reported to have married a stripling of under 30 years. There are numerous cases of extreme old age, and you could easily string up an authentic list a yard long in an hour in any library. Margaret Potterhill, 136. Lady Desmond, said to have been 145. John Bovin, 154. Peter Torton, 186, among others. And a number of people who, without knowing in the slightest about the art of living, have passed the century mark is very large indeed. Now, as you may possibly be on the brink of discovering knowledge that you have not so far gained, I invite you humbly to think humbly about this matter. Now, the people I've been quoting are just men. Human beings just like you and me. The most quoted instance of old age is that of old Tom Parr, who was born in Shropshire at Winnington in England. He died in 1635 in his 152nd year. At the age of 120, he married a second time and continued to work for 12 years when his sight began to fail him. At the age of 151, his fame spread to the royal court. He was the object of curiosity and of the king's indulgence. A year later, he succumbed. The royal kitchen had been too much for him. But the autopsy proved no trace of senile decay. It is more than likely that had old Tom Parr continued to live upon the simple food, then the custom in rural England, and stayed with his old habits, he might have lived years longer. But, my beloved, the point I wish to make here is that in the case of good old Tom Parr, the limit was more than doubled. That the limit was not the limit of nature is obvious. For had he continued with no alteration of diet and habit and thought, he might have gone on merrily for a long time. Still, he lived till he was 152. But why 152? Other men have lived longer. Who set their limit? Therefore, ask yourself. Close your eyes and dream. Why 152? If 152, why not 162, 172, 182? As a matter of fact, why any limit? Now, my beloved, there is no limit. Man is the master. The fact that old Tom Parr, just a rural rustic with no knowledge of what you are learning, lived for 152 years, proves that a million other men can do likewise. It only needs one man to do anything to prove that that thing is possible to millions of others when they know the way. Therefore, what is the limit? Why any limit? Now, in further lessons, it will be seen how this limit is fixed. But for you, get the conviction in your mind that if Parr and Taunton and those other fellows could do it, well, then so can I. Be emphatic. Say it to yourself 100 times a day. Yes, I can do it. Until the conviction captures the mind, the imagination, we shall remain such stuff as dreams are made of, and our little life rounded by a sleep.